We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01-793-7415 or 01-815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashng.org. Join us for any of our three services at 7 a.m., 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikose Road, Orego, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website, www.dashng.org, or watch the church service at www.dashng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.
All right, let's start out from Ephesians chapter 4. Pastor Nick has shared with us in the first two services this morning, and it will just be so wonderful for us to get the CDs and the DVDs she shared with us on the topic, It All Begins with the Family. It's a continuation of our discussions on character. And she says it all begins from home. Like they say, charity begins at home. And you and I have a responsibility to make sure that we raise children who are prepared for the future. Once in a while, when I speak to young people, especially on campuses, I talk to them about the corruption that is in our country now. And I tell them not to make the mistake of planning their future on the foundation of that corruption. Because I tell them 15 to 20 years from now, this country will be a completely different place. Amen. That's the truth. I tell them the standards would have changed. The rules of the game would have changed. I tell them this country will be prosperous. And I tell them that at that time, because of our prosperity, we'll build bigger and more comfortable prisons. And that people who make up their minds to be lawless, that's where we'll keep them. We'll give them internet, satellite TV, and all of them, but we'll keep them out of circulation. Your children will not be there. Please get the CD of that message. It all begins in the family after this service. Ephesians chapter 4, I read verses 17 to 24. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. All right, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24 from the Message Bible. It says, "And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that is no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to Him, being well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, has to go. It's a rotting true and true. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside, and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you." I'll title this Character Revolution. How many of us, please, watched or caught a glimpse of the inauguration of the new U.S. president? Amen. Did you see it? I watched it. It was inspiring, wasn't it? Of course, different high points in the experience, but I paid particular attention to the inaugural speech. I paid close attention to the words spoken by the new US President, President Obama. And at the end of the day, I said, this man became the President of the United States of America because his personal values align with the core values of the nation. I was particularly impressed when he got to the point where he said, the challenges that we face are new. The instruments with which we face them may be new. He said, but these core values on which our success has been built, the core values of honesty and hard work, fair play, tolerance, curiosity, loyalty, as he was listing those core values, I turned to those that were standing together, you know, Pastor Godman, Pastor Nick, I said, that's it. Values. He has been able, being a constitutional lawyer, to study over time. And of course, he was teaching law at the University of Illinois. He is a professor of law, and his specialty is constitutional law. He dug deep to the core values on which the United States of America was built. And when he dug them out and mentioned them that day, I said, that's it. He said, these values are old. See, the line of thought is, our challenges are new. The instruments with which we face them may be new, but the core values on which our success has been built over time, they are old and they will never change. They are the truth. And that's fantastic. So I've had to ask myself the question, so what are our own core values in our country? On what foundation was this nation laid? Who formed this country? Okay? Because President Obama then drew the attention of Americans to their founding document and asked them to go back to that document. And I was asking myself, so what are our own founding documents? Okay? When we read in our Constitution today, we, the people of Nigeria, we know it's a lie because we had absolutely nothing to do with the writing of that constitution. And we've written several of them anyway, from the MacPherson constitution that they wrote for us down to the ones that we have today. So it seems to me like we have not started. You begin actually with a vision for a nation. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. Or you read in different translations of the Bible, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Actually, it means where there is no vision, people lack discipline. Okay? People have no restraining force, no standards, so to speak, no values. So you don't talk of values until you speak of a vision. What do we want our country to be like? Sharing this with us today because I sense that our country is on the verge of some very difficult moments, some defining or redefining moments. And whilst they may be threatening for us as a people, I think this will be our best chance once and for all to decide what we want this country to be. Some people are talking and suggesting that, in fact, this will be a good time for the country to break up and for the different entities or the different parts to go their separate ways. If you think about it, does it make sense? It's a difficult thing. Okay, even if we agree, how will you divide it? Is it along religious lines? Families will split right through the middle. Or ethnic lines. How do you draw the line? Because there are people who have never been to their village. Am I right? There are Lagosians that we still label as Omoiboni. Nah. And they speak Yoruba. I mean, there's some of them better than the people who are Yoruba by tribe. Some of them even speak dialects of the Yoruba language. You understand what I mean? Why do we continue to fight ourselves? You have those ethnic clashes and then we kill ourselves. If that was where our problem was, all those wars should have solved our problems by now. That's not where the problem is. The problem is that we lack a vision that holds a promise of transformation, of elevation for the life of each Nigerian in spite of their tribe. All of us need the same thing. We need a better life. We need development from the militant in the Niger Delta to the cattle rearer in Sokoto. All of us need the same thing. We need electricity. We need good water. We need houses to live in. We need good roads. We need America in Nigeria. If we have that, we will continue to fight. There will be no point. Life will be more valuable. You won't just rush like that to go and slaughter 500 people. Because we would have invested heavily in the life of each individual in this nation. So it must begin with a vision. And I suggest that it should be a vision of development, one, and a vision that will position this country as a leading nation, not only in Africa, but in the world. And I believe it's possible. Looking at the average citizen of this country, I believe that we are designed for leadership. Everywhere we go, when we have the right environment, the potential comes out of us. Am I right? Some countries are actually afraid of us, especially African countries. Because when we show up, if they don't find ways to checkmate us and limit our activities, we'll take over their countries. There's something about the average Nigerian that is enterprising, entrepreneurial, innovative, and we have this thing called resilience. It pays us sometimes, some other times it doesn't pay us. That resilience. We have capacity to put up with nonsense, with rubbish. Okay? I think we can put our resilience to better use. Amen. Today, I believe that our country is where it is, and we have the kind of leaders that we have for the most part because the characters of our leaders align with the characters of the whole nation. If the whole nation does not have a vision, naturally, it is a person who doesn't have a vision that will emerge as its leader. If the whole nation is not honest, or at least the majority of people in the nation are not honest, it would be just okay for a dishonest person to become its leader. And when I say that, I don't only mean the presidency, I mean at various levels, all levels of leadership in the country. There is an alignment between the personal values of people who lead in our country now and the values of most people in the nation. Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, leave them alone. They are leaders of the blind. And when the blind lead the blind, both of them will fall into the ditch. Listen, when leaders are blind, but followers' eyes are open, the followers will stop following the leaders. Does that make sense? When the character of a follower is better than that of the leader, that follower will reject or not follow the leadership of the leader anymore. When we change, when we agree on a new set of values for our nation, leadership will naturally change in this country. So the challenge is for all of us now to agree on the core values. What I share with us today, I share because of God's vision for us as a church. to raise role models, the leaders that will transform the society. This church cannot pass the buck or the responsibility to anybody else in this country. If there's anything that we're complaining about in this country, we must do something about it. Because God's calling on our church puts the responsibility on us to do something about it. We are the leaders. Any blame that we put on the leaders of this country is a blame laid at our doorstep. Amen? You and I. Good. There are specific areas of life where we must begin to lay new foundations of character in our nation. I mean, just think about it. There is no way that President Obama would have become the president of the United States if he was a liar. Am I right? I mean, when you look at the country, you look at him, you realize he would not have survived. In fact, he would not have won the primaries of his own party. When you're a dishonest person, you have a lot of skeletons in your cupboard, you want to contest for the presidency in a country like that, they will reveal your secret. The best thing for you, don't even go near. Don't try. Okay? That's why I'm saying that his personal values align with that of the nation. Because all through his campaign, you didn't hear any messy things about him. Am I right? There were no secrets. There were no secrets. In the first place, the nation appreciates the fact that he's a honest person. I didn't say perfect. I said honest. You know why? Whatever he had done that could be used to malign him, he had said it. He wrote two books, Dreams from My Father and The Audacity of Hope, and told the story of his life. Everything that he had done. And all of everybody has done this and done that. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The important thing is for us to know that somewhere along the line, you grew out of spiritual foolishness into wisdom. You left childishness and moved into maturity. Amen. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I love the statement that he made in his speech. Our nation may be young. We're still a young nation, he said. He said, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come for us to put away childish things. I love that. Challenging a whole nation to maturity. Okay, so they appreciate the fact that he's honest. He had said everything about himself. If he himself had not spoken about his heritage, where his father came from, if he had been pretending that he was like every other American, and you know Nigerians can do that kind of thing. Some people would have never been to America speaking phonetic. Nonsense. You have not gone anywhere. Speak like a Nigerian. We're so used to pretense and lying. That's why when our leaders lie to us, we smile. OJ Marina, we're in the same business together. We understand where you are going. Say it, because that's the normal thing that a president is supposed to say, or a governor. OJ. We don't believe them. We don't listen to those speeches anymore. They are what? They are not even what the paper on which they are written. So, we need to lay new foundations. We need to begin with leadership. Leadership needs to have character in our country. We need to set new standards. We should not accept anymore a person who made money, and we know he didn't make the money legitimately, to be our leader. All of us will suffer for it. See, if things are going to change in this country, we have to admit, we were children before. Now we want to become matured people as a nation. We made mistakes before. The day Jesus entered Zacchaeus' house, I love what happened. Because Zacchaeus knew what Jesus stood for. Righteousness, truth. Jesus didn't say anything to Zacchaeus. As soon as Jesus landed in his house, Zacchaeus said, "Master, if I have taken anything from anybody by extortion, I will restore it 4 times. Did Jesus ask him? Because of the values and the standards that Jesus stands for. It was Zacchaeus himself, a leader, a wealthy man, who said, "Sir, there's no point pretending. I made a mistake. I was afraid for my life, afraid for my future. And by the way, everybody was doing it. I did it. But today, having met you, the standards have changed for my life. If I took anything from anyone by extortion, I will restore 4 times. He said, "And I'm going to give away half of my goods anyway to the poor." That's what we need to do in this country now. We used to tell ourselves many years ago when I was in school, SME rascality. It's time for us as a nation to stop traveling on the wrong road. Is that okay? Is that okay? No, it's not. Is it okay? The rules have to change. The standards have to change. The foundations need to be relayed. We have to look at our institutions, at our political system. We have to look at our families and relay the foundations. There was a time when, for God's sake, the family was the bedrock of this society. And each child came from a home and had a name to protect. And we used to tell ourselves, "Remember the son of who you are." Because if you came home with a pencil that was not your own, they will beat the hell out of you. So you didn't even bother to bring it home. There were things that were not acceptable. But the lines have become blurred. The lines have become blurred. And I tell people, don't blame the area boys. The presence of area boys is proof there are area fathers. Everybody comes out of a home. But I want you to see the dynamics. This is how it has worked. And I believe political leadership impacted on the family too. Because some of us grew up watching our parents. They were honest. They chose not to lie. They chose not to steal. They served faithfully 35 years and retired, having been promised a pension. And we watched after several years. It now became obvious that they were fools for abiding by the rules. We now saw people who bent the rules, people who took what did not belong to them, and they were the ones who were now comfortable in our country. They were the ones whose futures were now guaranteed. They were the ones who could pay school fees for their children. The ones who served honestly, didn't take what didn't belong to them, now had to stay in the hot sun for hours to register or for verification. And many of them fainted. The reward for serving a nation faithfully with the most vital part of their lives. Then a younger generation evolved that said, "I won't be that stupid. I will organize my destiny." So that's where things began to change for us as a nation. We must relay the foundations. How about our schools? See, that's one of the essence of a school. It's not just intellectual development. Character development is major in the building of a school. And gradually we have watched our schools literally destroyed, especially the public schools. Churches have a very unique role to play. Very unique role. God gave us a message in the church. Seeing that our people were poor, impoverished, powerless, helpless, God gave us a message of prosperity, wanted us to see that how to succeed, how to prosper financially is right there in the Bible, the basic principles and values. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no longer, but let him walk rather with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that has not. But at the same time, there was an erosion of values in our country. The two of them met together, and today we have a caricature, a different picture entirely from what we intended. Because while people's destinies were threatened, the rules and the standards changed. There was insecurity in the land, no values, bad examples from leadership. Our self-centeredness, our struggle for survival was fired up. So the message of prosperity met greed and gave birth to destruction and more poverty in the country. The church must reinvent itself. One of our church members told me, his chief executive of his own business, told me how he had to hire staff from India. And one of them, after a few weeks of arriving in Nigeria, said to him, I have made an observation I need to let you know. I see that Nigerians are very religious. He said, but they are not spiritual. When this brother said that to me, I was shocked. He said, good, sir, I can see your reaction. That's how I reacted too when the young man said it. They are very religious, but they are not spiritual. He said, sir, let me give you his explanation. He said, as a Hinduist, he was taught that if he made a promise, he should do everything possible to keep that promise. He said, but in Nigeria, people who say they are religious make promises. They don't keep their promises. He said, if I agree with you to do business with you and to produce a particular measure of service or some products by 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, he said, if it will mean my not sleeping to be able to meet that deadline, he said, I will not sleep because I must keep my part. He said, I have been taught that if I keep my part, even if you don't keep yours, God will make sure that my reward comes to me through some other means, but I will not miss my reward. He says, so if I fail to meet my obligation, I am not only cheating you, I am cheating myself. I thought I was listening to the Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. The church must reinvent itself. Because there's a way we mix religion in this country with tradition. We mix it with the system. We, for those of us who subscribe to Christ, that's the passage that we read. Said, no, you've not learned that from Christ. Christ is the standard. He's the truth. You can't mix him with the whole system. Say, well, that's the rule. That's how everybody does it. You have to give them something or else they won't let you go. You don't have to give them something, sir. You don't have to give them something. Because when you do, you lose your own moral position. You have decided to help yourself, and it makes it difficult for God to help you. Now, I'd like to read two passages of scripture and close on that. Luke chapter 14. Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 14. How do I become the personal expression of the new standards and values that we need in a nation like this? So that when I become a leader in my family, then I can be the example of love. I can be the example of humility. I can be the example of responsibility, of hard work, of diligence, of loyalty, of faithfulness. I, because it all begins with me. Luke chapter 14, I read verses 25 to 27 and then verse 33. It says, one day when large groups of people were walking along with him, I'm reading from the Message Bible, Jesus turned and told them, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. If we will be true followers of Christ, Jesus says we must make hard choices. We will have to damn the consequences for choosing to be honest. That's what he said. If you are not willing to pay the price. I skipped some verses there for the sake of time. But when we get to them, let's read them. In between there, he says, for which of you intending to build a tower, a house, will not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he can afford it? That's what Jesus is saying. If you want to follow me, you want to be my disciple, he says, sit down first before you make a commitment. Because to follow my principles and my values, you will have to make some hard choices. He says, sometimes it will cost you some of the best relationships in your life. You know, one of the major problems that I see in our society is that we value relationships over principles. That's why we're not making progress. Ah, he's my brother. Ah, he's your brother. Take him for the job because he's your brother. But he's not the most competent. He's not getting the job by merit. Everything will suffer for it. Your business will suffer for it. He doesn't know the job. He will be best suited somewhere else. If you put him here, where he is not best suited, this business will not succeed. He too cannot succeed because he is not in his place. There's another place for him that will best suit him. Principles. We must build our lives on principles. Jesus said, anyone who is not willing to lose his father, lose his mother, lose his brothers, lose his sisters, in the process of following me and aligning with my principles, he said, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who is not willing to carry his cross and, in fact, disappoint himself. In other words, this is what I would really like. But because I'm a follower of Christ and I have subscribed to his values, I will miss it. Self-denial. See, that's the route to building rock-solid character and succeeding like Jesus Christ. Verse 33, simply put, if you are not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Help me to ask your neighbor, what do you need to kiss goodbye today? John chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. John chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. In the words of Jesus, he said, again from the Message Bible, listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you will have it forever, real and eternal. Someone say amen to that. Listen, we need all to admit this country is a threatening environment. Our future is threatened. Destiny is threatened. Hey, there aren't enough jobs to go around. Hey, if I don't do it now, I may not get that job. The contracts are not enough to go around. That's why we're bending the rules. That's why we compromise here and there. I found myself in a situation a few weeks ago where if I had lied, things would have happened for me perfectly. And I had different categories of lies that I could have told. And things would have been fine. I chose to say the truth and suffered for it. But I'm glad, because in my heart I had real joy, original peace, not a guilty conscience pretending that the Lord did it. You know, we have a lot of testimonies like that in church today. A job that we ascribed to the Lord, that he did it, and God was smiling from heaven. Me? Disclaimer notice. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. little lie here. Listen, you and I have to make up our minds. Like Daniel's friends. If we don't bow, we will not burn. Even if we burn, that's why Jesus said, carry your cross. Because if it means losing your life, lose it. Because that's the only way things can work. But hear what Jesus says here. It is the person who is willing to lose it. He said, if you don't lose it, if we don't take this your life, throw it in the ground and allow it to die. This life constructed by Nigeria, the one that lies a little bit, the one that cheats in exams, God have mercy on us. So the schools where teachers should help to shape students' character, the teachers now insist they must collect money before a student can pass. You can even pass without writing the exam. In our country now, buy two tires for the lecturer. The lecturer's car, can't you see the tire? Smooth. That's the country we have now. Listen to me. Don't bow. Damn the consequences. You will lose your natural life. Okay? You will lose your life as a normal Nigerian, a compromiser. You will lose it. But Jesus said, you will find another one. He said, if you don't let go of this life like that, with self-denial, ready to die to serve, he said, your life will remain the way it is, trapped and limited the way the life of the average Nigerian is limited, subject to the control and domination of this existing corrupt system. He said, but if you let that life die, he said, you will find your life again. But this one will be a bigger one. It will not be life potentially trapped in a seed. It will be a harvest. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen?
Ultimately, in this country, people who don't lie will become more prosperous than those who are lying. Those who won't compromise will eventually take over the leadership of this nation. Did I hear you say a good amen?
Amen.
I promise you by the Spirit of God, we're not going to keep quiet any longer. The standards are changing. Very soon you will hear God's clarion call to take a stand for what is right in this nation. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, that each time like that, you are willing to lose something, lose a job, lose a contract, lose an opportunity because you chose to abide by the values of the kingdom of God, that the power of God will invade your life. When a seed goes into that soil, something enters it, breaks its outer shell, the one that people saw and knew before, and causes new life to come out from it. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that the you that people never knew was there will come out. The power of God will touch your life. What people never knew was in you will come out of you. The capacity to be a governor, capacity to be a senator, capacity to be CEO of a multinational corporation, capacity to be a minister of the gospel, capacity to build a family that is built on honor in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray by the Spirit of the living God that your life will no longer be just a lone life. It will become a movement. One Jesus that lived and the world has never forgotten. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will not die the way other people are dying. Jesus said, anyone who is trying to keep his life will eventually lose it. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, what Satan meant to put shame on your life because you stood for the truth, God will turn that shame to fame. In the place where you experience shame, he will give you double honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I pray no association will prevail against you. There is no divination against Israel, no enchantment against Jacob. When God has blessed you, nobody can curse you. He said, behold, he has blessed and I cannot reverse it. I promise in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that as you align your life with the truth and the principles and the values of the Word of God, as you call on Jesus to help you when you run out of strength, when you are pressurized to compromise, I pray that that Jesus will stand by you. He will strengthen you. He will pour his grace into your life. He will teach you what to say at the right moment. He will help you to connect with a higher level of wisdom than you ever knew. He will give you new visions, new dreams. And I pray in Jesus' name, no individual or system will succeed in prevailing against you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01-793-7415 or 01-815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org. Join us for any of our three services at 7 a.m., 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikose Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website, www.daystarng.org, or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.